Jesus showed men what it takes to lead and succeed in life. It's never easy, but it's always worth it. Join us on our epic journey of faith as we follow Jesus, the blueprint for men. Once upon a time in a land far away, there was a small kingdom ruled by a wise king. This king had two sons, and instead of giving them a soft, safe life of luxury, he raised them in an environment of adversity. For he knew that a man can raise sons who are safe or strong, but never both. The king's sons trained, ate, and slept with the soldiers. They wore the same uniforms and carried the same weapons. The young men stood guard on the coldest nights and performed even the most humble duties. Prince Henry took it all in stride. He worked hard, for he knew it would give him strength. He trained hard, for he knew it would give him skill. He listened to the veterans because he knew they would give him wisdom. Whenever Henry would fail, and it was often, he would smile and say, "The only way to learn is through failure." Henry never whined, complained, or blamed anyone, no matter how hard things got. All the men respected Henry and believed he would be a good king. His younger brother Edmund was very different. Edmund refused to work hard, for he believed that power comes from position. He never trained hard, for he believed he was too valuable to ever be put in a place of danger. He ignored the vice of the squires, for he believed they were beneath him. Edmund never failed, for he only did things he was good at, which wasn't very much. Men shook their heads when they heard him say, "A prince should always be perfect." Edmund whined, complained, and blamed when anything in life didn't meet his high standards. Not one soldier respected Edmund, and all quietly hoped that he would never be king. One night, a group of assassins snuck into the castle. Edmund, who was supposed to be standing watch, had snuck off and was dozing in a warm corner, sound asleep. Henry had just been relieved from his watch and was heading inside to the barracks when he thought he heard light footsteps on the roof. Henry looked and saw shadows leaping and darting up the outside of the tower, heading straight towards the open window near his father's room. He sounded the alarm and charged towards the tower. Henry bounded up the stairs two at a time and burst through the door into the hall outside the royal bedroom. Immediately, two assassins leaped towards him, while four men in black hacked at the chamber door with axes. Suddenly, everything slowed down. The two men racing at Henry went into slow motion, their arms raised, their swords slowly swinging. Henry saw the path of both blades, and he easily slipped to the side as one sword swished inches away from his shoulder. He raised his own sword and parried the second attack, while his other hand shot out and struck the opponent's throat. The man stumbled forward, choking. Henry sensed the other assassin begin to turn, his sword slicing upwards. Still, in slow motion, Henry sidestepped, swung his sword backwards, and blocked the blade. Then, using energy from the blow, he pivoted, brought his sword down hard, and the second assassin hit the floor. A loud crash echoed down the hall and the door gave way. Two men disappeared into the dark room while the other two faced Henry. It was a mistake they would not have time to regret. For even though Henry was dressed like a common guard, his hours of training had given him uncommon skill. Soon, two more assassins were out of commission. Henry shoved his way into his father's bedroom. In a flash, he took in everything. The crumpled sheets, an overturned chair, a smashed mirror. One assassin slumped against the chair, clutching a wound in his chest, while the other stood over the king, his axe raised. The king glared up at the assassin, blood dripping from a cut on his forehead. Henry bellowed and hurled his sword with all of his might. Its blade whistled through the air as it spun and flashed across the room. The intruder turned and slashed his axe right into Henry's sword, blocking it. And the sword clattered harmlessly to the floor. Henry knew he didn't have any time. He also knew he didn't have any weapons. But that didn't stop him. For years, Henry had embraced every challenge, every setback, every failure with passion, and his habits would not fail now. Henry ran and dove straight into the assassin, tackling the man off of his father and crushing him against the wall. The assassin brought his knee up into Henry's belly, hard. At the same time, he slammed the knob of his axe on Henry's back. Pain seared through Henry's body, but he was used to pain. Adversity had toughened his muscles and his mind. Henry's shoulder had felt something when he hit the man's chest, and quick as lightning, he reached into the man's cloak and pulled out a dagger. The assassin pushed Henry back and began to swing his axe down. Henry's hand flashed out and plunged the dagger into the assassin. Henry was quick, but not quick enough. The axe came down and Henry's world exploded into pain, and then went dark. Minutes later, when the guards rushed into the room, they found the king holding the body of his limp son. Six assassins had failed in their mission, stopped by one lone guard who wasn't even on duty. That night, no one had expected assassins, but one man was prepared. Instead of avoiding adversity, Henry had embraced it. All the suffering, all the pain, all the discomfort had made him into the man that he needed to be that night. Edmund pushed his way into the room and stopped cold. In one moment of stark clarity, he finally understood. His father's life, his brother's life had been in danger because he chose comfort. Now, the choice had seemed unimportant tonight, but Edmund saw how he had been choosing comfort for a long time. He looked at the two assassins laying on the floor and doubted that he could have even stopped them. Edmund swallowed hard and knelt beside his father. The king looked up at Edmund and said, "Your brother will be all right." The axe missed his head, but the handle hit him pretty hard. The king's eyes brimmed with tears, but his voice was filled with manly pride. "You should have seen Henry. He was magnificent." Edmund put his hand on his brother's chest and was relieved to feel the strong heartbeat. Henry groaned and stirred. And then Edmund swore to himself that he would never turn away from adversity again. The stakes were just too high. What could have been tragic turned out to be a turning point. Because from that night on, the kingdom had two princes who trained hard, worked hard, and never complained. And years later, when the good king died, he left his kingdom in the capable hands of his two sons, good men of character, whose hearts and minds and bodies were strong. The kingdom was safe, the people were happy, and the two princes, well, they had many adventures. For when a man chooses to embrace adversity, he chooses to really live. A large part of being a man is being tough. Now, we live in a society that has programmed us men to be sensitive and soft and self-indulgent. The chance of us experiencing a life-threatening situation are almost nil. According to the Illinois Department of Public Health, out of the top 10 causes of death in men, 8 are due to preventable health issues. These facts should wake us up. Men are dying because of heart disease, lung disease, stroke, and diabetes, and most of these deaths could have been prevented through healthy habits of eating right and exercise. Get this, listen to me right now. Men are dying because we're too comfortable. Comfort is actually killing us. Men, we need to wake up. Every time we avoid a challenge, we avoid an opportunity to grow stronger, tougher, harder. And over time, we can become so soft that we can no longer function as a man. Jocko Willink, a retired Navy SEAL and author of the best-selling book Extreme Ownership, constantly challenges people to choose the hard path, to take responsibility, to adopt what he calls extreme ownership. Here's what Jocko said in one of his best talks entitled Good. Quote, "The mission got canceled? Good. We can focus on another one. Didn't get promoted? Good. More time to get better. Got injured? Good. Needed a break from training. Got beat? Good. We learned. Unexpected problems? Good. We have to figure out a solution. When things are going bad, don't get all bummed out. No. Just look at the issue and say, good. I'm not trying to sound like Mr. Smiley Positive Guy. That guy ignores the hard truth. That guy thinks a positive attitude will solve problems. It won't. But neither will dwelling on the problem. No. Accept reality, but focus on the solution. Take that issue, take that setback, take that problem, and turn it into something good. If you can say the word good, then guess what? It means you're still alive. It means you're still breathing. And if you're still breathing, that means you've got some fight left in you. So get up, dust off, reload, recalibrate, and go out on the attack. End quote by Jocko Willink. This Navy SEAL kick butt hard-nosed attitude isn't just for guys with tattoos and biceps the size of watermelons. It's also for Christians, for God followers. Think about Joseph. This guy had every reason to whine and cry and throw in the towel, but he didn't quit. He pledged his life to God and remained faithful even though he was sold as a slave, falsely accused of being a rapist, thrown in jail, and forgotten by everyone. Joseph embraced adversity. We know this because no matter where he was, Joseph rose to the top. Soon after arriving, as a slave, he was running Potiphar's estate. As a prisoner, he was running the dungeon. As a foreigner, he was running the country. In just 13 years, Joseph was transformed from a daddy's boy goody-goody to a man who commanded the respect of Pharaoh himself. That's the gift of adversity. That's what you lose when people coddle you. That's what you lose when you take the easy way out. That's what you lose when you whine and complain and blame. That's why Paul wrote, "We take pride in our troubles, because we know that problems produce perseverance. And the choice to persevere creates character. And a strong character gives birth to hope." Romans 5:3-4. Paul, like Jocko, isn't a smiley, positive guy. He's just a guy who knows that adversity is good because it's the path to transformation. I've got bad news for you. Transformation is always painful. If you want the wings, you gotta break out of the cocoon. Because if you're gonna fly, you've gotta go through the pain. You gotta train, you gotta work, you gotta sweat. Now, no one likes these situations, but we all face them. The men who run from adversity never grow. They shrivel and atrophy. They turn bitter and scared. You can always pick them out because they're the guys who are quick to criticize, bully, and complain. But the men who embrace adversity, they grow. That choice to stay, to work, to push through creates endurance, creates inner strength. It creates character. That character is what gives a man the ability to stand in the storm, because inside a good character is the secret sauce of courage. Hope. Paul says, character produces hope. The reason a man faces the storm is because he has hope. He believes that the pain, the risk, the fight is worth it. He chooses the hard path because he has hope. Now, hope may seem like a girly, soft, touchy-feely kind of emotion, but it's actually the bedrock of every hero's heart. For without hope, why would anyone keep fighting? The storm is coming, and your character better be ready, because on the day you need to be strong, it'll be too late to train. There's too much at stake to abandon your post. Your choices today will result in life or death tomorrow. Adversity is your ally. Comfort is your poison. So choose wisely. Let adversity strengthen you, shape you, build you, toughen you up. Let it transform you and fill you with hope, so that like Joseph, like Paul, like Jesus, you can stare your problems in the face and say, good. God's blueprint for building epic men is Jesus. When men go all in for God, they change the world. That's why Blueprint for Men is dedicated to empowering men to base their lives on the example of Jesus. One practical way to do that is through the Morning Summit. A number one new release on Amazon, this 13-week small group challenge equips men with the team, plan, and tools they need to create solid morning habits that will transform their lives. Search Morning Summit Blueprint on Amazon today. Jesus is the blueprint for men, and he's calling you out of a life of comfort and into a life of courage.